Hallelujah. Tech team, Pastor Mark, thank you for leading us in communion this morning. Good to see you, church. How are you? All right, good. Praise God. Hello and welcome to First Open Bible. Thank you for joining us online as well, whenever this is, now or in the future. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for joining us for worship today. My name is Pastor Harris. I am the lead pastor here, and I'm so glad that you're here. Amen. Y'all brush your teeth, right? Okay, good. If not, you want a space, not just for COVID, but rest stank. Okay, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, so people getting set free this morning, I just feel it. You can still feel the anointing of God. Amen? If God has set you free, or he's setting you free, and you're proclaiming that, I just want you to say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, say it like something that God is going to do. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. That's the highest praise. So we're giving God the highest praise. Sometimes you got to give God the highest praise before you ever see any results in your life. It's just how it works. Sometimes you got to praise or worship yourself happy, right? You need to have the joy of the Lord. We'll start, you know, start speaking to that situation. But another thing that you do too, a lot of times when you're down and out and you're just not feeling it, or maybe you're in a funk, right? You're going through something. One of the best things you can do is this, church. You can give. Right? Man, I don't have much going on and I'm really feeling something today. I'm really going through something and I'm just down, right? I'm just not feeling good. Let me tell you, there's something supernatural in giving away, right? When you give away, you're going to receive something greater than you just gave. So if you're in a funk or maybe you're going through something or this week is rough, maybe you need to be like Jesus and you need to be a servant. Maybe you need to give. When's the last time you gave sacrificially in the midst of your junk? Amen? Amen. Well, church, welcome to the month of May. Last month, we had a wonderful series titled Generous. The more I prayed about it, the more I just could not shake what God was doing last month through generosity and learning about it and walking through it. So welcome to this month's theme of May. It's called More Generous. Hallelujah. We're going to have a little bit of more generous. Yeah, that's brilliant, isn't it? Hallelujah. It's like, oh, generous, but we need something new and we need to continue. More generous. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's in the simple things. Sometimes it's in the simple things. 2 weeks ago, God gave us a great message of having a cheerful heart. Put your hand on your heart and say, God, I want to have a cheerful heart. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says this, you must decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Praise God. You cannot claim to know Christ and follow Christ and be a stingy person. There's no such thing as a Christian Scrooge. I said that a couple weeks ago. No such thing. Because the true gospel of Jesus will touch you in such a supernatural way that it's going to open up your hearts to receive God's love, and then it's going to open up your hands to give back. That's just how it works. The condition of your generosity is directly tied to the condition of your heart. Christian giving and Christian generosity is about compassionate sacrifice. The greatest people who should give into the world and in the world should be Christians. We should be the greatest givers because we know what it's like to receive. Come on now. I'm preaching better than y'all, amen. 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 You want me to preach as boring as your amen? Amen. I can. I can just read this. No, okay. When you amen, what it is just something resonates in you, or you say hallelujah, and you just got to get it out, right? Sometimes you got to get it. I know y'all yell at the TV when your team's doing awesome or doing awful, or something's going on, or you're watching Fox News or CNN. I know you're yelling at the TV. Some of y'all even getting up out of your chair Welcome to church, man. If you're doing more than that, you're doing more of that with your TV than you're doing Jesus, something out of whack. Okay? Amen. Now, I love the Ducks, but if I'm praising the Ducks more than I'm praising my Savior, something's wrong with that. Oregon Ducks, not like actual Ducks. Like, I don't have Ducks at home. I love my Ducks. I got to get home. Anybody got some bread? I'm just playing. Please feed my Ducks as you go home from church today. No, I like the Oregon Ducks. All right, moving on. See, Christian giving and Christian generosity is all about compassionate sacrifice. Church, may we never forget, we don't own anything, but we steward everything. Now, did you know this? Did you know that the average millionaire goes bankrupt at least 3 times in their life? The average millionaire will dabble into about 17 different businesses, concepts, schemes, enterprises before they hit it big, usually on the 18th try. And only 20% of millionaires are retirees. That means 80% of people who are millionaires are still working. They're still grinding. They're still going after it. So one thing I've learned over the years about rich people is this. They don't just sit on their money. Rich people don't just sit on their money. They don't just store it under a mattress or hide it in the backyard or bury it. Rich people stay rich, and they get richer by investing their money. They don't work hard and do nothing about it. See, what they do is they work hard and they make right decisions, and they don't redo the bad decisions. Being rich according to this world does not look the same as being rich to God. But they have very similar principles that apply to both. Work hard, invest correctly. Work hard, invest correctly. Now, I'm going to set somebody free here in a moment. If you are on unemployment and you want to ride that wave because you're getting more money than you were when you were working, so you got to check yourself. The Bible says that you need to get to work, right? Now, if you're unemployed and you're on unemployment and you need it, all right, cool. You better be looking for a job. Right? Even if it doesn't pay as much, man, you can't rely on the government for everything. Work hard, invest correctly. Today's sermon is titled Investment. So what kind of things does the Bible talk about when it comes to investing? I'm glad you asked. Thank you. I don't know where I'd go from here if you didn't. Here's one of my favorite parables Jesus taught on when it comes to kingdom stewardship and kingdom investment. Open your Bibles, please, if you will. Matthew 25. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you. And for your communion cups, if you don't know what to do with them, right in front of you is little spots for you to put your communion cups when they're done. Or if you're in the front seat, they're right behind you. And there's a Bible underneath you where your legs are if you'd like to grab one right now. So it's this story called The Talents. The story of the talents. Now, I did some research. That's the King James calls it the talents, okay? Here's a little background. Originally, what is a talent? Anybody know? Raise your hand. You know what a talent is originally. Money. That's it. Gold star. Come on up. Put something on the felt board. Hallelujah. Well done. Background. Originally, a talent was a measure of a very large monetary weight, monetary money. Most of the time, it was in silver. So in the day, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus walked this earth, a talent was the largest unit of currency of that day. So typically, a talent, in this story, it's going to talk about a bag of silver. Okay? Now, I did a lot of research on this. What is one talent equal to? It's equal to 6,000 denarii. All right, y'all got to follow me on this one because it's going to make a lot more sense before we read this. One talent equals 6,000 denarii. What is a denarii or a denarius? Like a penny, right? Like a single coin, a denarius. Now, if you went to work for me and I had you work outside, like yesterday we worked outside and we did some deck work, that's why I'm glowing today. It's not the Holy Spirit, it is, but it's also a slight sunburn, hallelujah. I was getting pasty, so praise God. So a denarius, if you come to work for me and you work all day, I give you one. It's a day's wage. Well done, here's a denarius, okay? So one talent is equal to 6,000 denarii or denarius. You following me? So one talent is 6,000 days' wages. Okay? One bag of silver, I paid you 6,000 days' wages. So what is that in years? One talent, okay, if you work 6 days a week and you rest on the Sabbath, one talent, 6,000 average working wages, or days' wages, one talent is 20 years of working. Only if you work 6 days a week. If you work 5 days a week, it's much more than 20 years of work. Okay? Now, I did this for America. One denarius is a day's wages. Okay? So what is an average day's wage in Iowa? It's $208. $208 in Iowa is an average day's working wages. Now you have to think, you got CEOs and you got the bottom level. So you got to average it out. $208 a day. So I want to make this relative and relatable to you now. So think about this. This story in today's wages in the United States of America in Iowa, if this happened, one person was handed one talent, 6,000 days' wages, to one servant. How much money is that in U.S. dollars? That's $1,248,000. Okay? So one servant got one talent. Another servant got how many? I gave you a good hint. This is not peace, right? Two. So the one servant that received two talents or two bags of silver, that's equal to $2,496,000, $2.5 million. Now, one guy got how many? Five. One servant got five talents. That's equal to an average working day's wage in Iowa, $6,240,000. So this is not a little bit of money. This is a lot of bit of money, right? Five talents is equal to 30,000 days' wages. If you work 6 days a week, that's 100 years. 6 days a week working. Here's five bags. Okay? All right, let's read this parable. It's going to make, hopefully it'll make much more sense now that you know that. Matthew chapter 25, we're going to start in verse 14. Again, the kingdom, this is Jesus telling a story. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave five bags or five talents of silver to one, two bags of silver or two talents to another, and one bag of silver to the last. Now, this is important. Dividing it into proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. Okay, verse 16. The servant who received the five bags of silver began to invest the money and earned five more. The servant with the two bags of silver also went to work and earned two more. Verse 18. But the servant who received the one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. Verse 19. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they used his money. Verse 20, the servant to whom he entrusted the five bags of silver came forward with five more and said, "Master, you've given me five bags of silver to invest, and I've earned five more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Verse 22. The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Now, verse 24. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." Uh-oh. Verse 26. But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvest crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least you could have gotten some interest on it." Verse 28. Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant," the one with the 1 bag, "and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away." Verse 30. "Now throw this useless servant into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Woo. Church, God thinks stewardship, which is the job of taking care of something, is a very important thing. God thinks investing is serious, and investments and investing is eternal business. We have a daily chore to invest our money, our treasures, our talents, and our time. Now, there's one thing all of us don't have much of. Do you know what it is? Time. Very good. The older you get, the more you're going to understand what I just said. The adjective definition of generous is this, quote, "showing a readiness to give more of something as money or time than is strictly necessary or expected," end quote. Jesus taught that the greatest use of your life is to invest in things that will outlast it. Let me say that again. Jesus taught that the greatest use of your time is to invest into things that will outlast it. When it comes to your time you have here on earth, you can spend it on your career. You can spend it on your hobbies, or acquiring certain possessions, or acquiring and gathering money, or you can invest it into things that will outlast your time here on earth. When Jesus told this parable, the story of the talents, he gave us 7 simple but powerful principles for investing your life. Okay, 7. If you take notes, this is an easy time to take notes. If not, you can watch later and you can take these notes as well, because note takers are what? History makers. Hallelujah. Number 1, everything I have belongs to God. Everything I have belongs to God. That's number 1 and super important. Everything I have belongs to God. Number 2, God has given me some talents. God has given me some talents. God has given me some talents. Number 3, God expects me to use those talents. Okay? Someday, God's going to ask you, what did you do with what you were given? Number 4, it is wrong to bury or to hide what God has given me. It is wrong to bury or hide what God has given to me. Number 5, fear keeps me from using my talent. Fear keeps me from using my talent. When you cut all the excuses and you cut all the reasons why you're not and why you're not doing this or going there or giving to this or whatever, it's really fear that keeps you from using the talents God has given you. It's just fear. Church, repeat after me. I will not be fearful anymore. Hallelujah. All right, number six. If I don't use it, I'm going to lose it, right? So I used to play basketball a lot, and I used to be slim, and, well, you don't use it, you lose it, and you gain it. Hallelujah. Okay. Number seven, if I use it wisely, I will be rewarded. If I use it wisely, I will be rewarded. Hallelujah. All right, so we just read a parable in Matthew 25. There's a parable that's right before that one that Jesus tells. And this parable right before, it's the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. There were 10 bridesmaids preparing for the bridegroom. What is this story about? It's about being watchful and preparing for Jesus' return. It's about how to live your life until Christ comes again. But watchfulness does not mean idleness. We are taught in that parable, the bridesmaids, that every person is responsible for his or her own spiritual condition. Listen, I can't love Jesus for you. I can't worship him for you. I can't follow after Christ for you. Neither can your family, your auntie, your uncles, your brothers, your sisters, your spouse, nobody. Mom, dad, your kids, they cannot serve God for you. I love that parable. It reminds us that it's our responsibility. It's our spiritual condition is in our hands. It's up to us. Now, the story of the talents, the one we just read, shows the necessity of using what God has given to us. This is a story of investing what God has entrusted to us for the time that we have left here on earth. This story from Jesus is not just about money, church. Talents represent in this story more than just finances. Amen? It represents abilities, resources, skills, opportunities, spiritual gifts. This story is all about the things that God has entrusted to us. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your possessions. It can go on and on and on. What do you have that God has entrusted to you? The time we all have left, it's either going to end like the first parable of the 10 bridesmaids. It's going to end when Jesus comes back and we're all caught up in the air with him. Or it's going to end with what we just read, when we pass from this mortal shell we call an earthly body. It doesn't matter. Either way, you are called to invest. Amen? You're called to invest however long we have. Now, everyone has talents. Amen? Everybody has talents. Everyone has something to invest. God will give you as much as you can handle to invest at this time in your life. Listen, I couldn't have preached to you 20 years ago. Amen? It's quiet in here. Maybe God's talking to you. Holy Spirit, just keep on working. Keep on working. Whatever it is that you're doing right now, in the hearts and the minds of the ones that you love. Whatever you're doing, just set them free, empower them. Equip them, convict them if they need to. Hallelujah. Do what you got to do. I like to study in New King James, and New King James talks about God's going to give you what you have in little, God's going to give you many if you're a good steward, if you invest correctly. And then in the NLT, I like how it breaks it down, and it changes a little bit of that meaning to try to go back to the original, and it talks about your responsibilities, what you're responsible for, what you possess, what God has entrusted to you. If you're good with a small amount of responsibilities, and you're faithful to them, and you invest them correctly, and you work hard like the millionaires, God's going to give you more. That's just how it works. if you're not good at this, you're going to have less. If you fail at your assignment, your excuse cannot be this. I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed. There's just too much. Just too much to give away. Oh, so hard. Because God's only going to give you what you can handle. And he's also going to only give you what he can trust you with. So oftentimes our failure in our investments is this. It's one of two things. You fail at your investing because of one of two things. Number one, because you're lazy. Just let that simmer. Hallelujah. I got to get up. I got to do something. Yes. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. But remember, it's not by pressure. It's through a cheerful heart. You fail in your investments because maybe you're lazy. Or you're disobedient. It's one of the two. You're lazy or you're disobedient to the master. Just like the story says. You're a servant. You're a servant to the master. So maybe your investments aren't going so well because not because he didn't give you enough. He gave you enough that you can handle right now. He gave you enough that he trusts you with right now. Well, maybe you're not investing right, or maybe you're not seeing that return because you're either lazy or disobedient in what he told you to do. See, God gives us, all of us, he gives us all of us time, he gives us gifts, and he gives us other resources according to our abilities. That's what the word says, according to our abilities. And he expects us, church, to invest them wisely until he returns from his heavenly trip. We just said it this morning. He's coming back, church. He's on a trip. He's at the right hand of the Father, but he's coming. When the Father says, all right, son, go get him again. Go get him again. This time, here's a sword, right? Here's a horse. Here's some fire. Woo! You're coming in a different light. An authority. Now, he came in authority, but as a servant. Now, he's going to divide some things up, okay? That's a different sermon. Rile y'all up in that, and you forget what God is saying today, right? All the eschatology people will be like dancing. Woo! He's coming back. I know. See, God is on a heavenly trip. Jesus is on a heavenly trip, and he's trusting his servants with what he's given them to be good stewards. He wants his church to be full of millionaires in kingdom wealth. We are responsible to use well what God has given us. If you think you're too old, check yourself. Abraham had a baby. The guy was 100. And thank goodness he did, because we're here because of it. Right. Check yourself. All right, if you're older, man, you got, as the word says, that your hair shows that you have wisdom, okay? That's a nice way to say you're probably gray. Unless you go to the beauty salon, hallelujah. You have wisdom on the top, hallelujah. If that's you, you know what? Maybe a position in ministry is not the place for you right now. The place for you is to be ministry. You know what I'm saying? Your investment is into the next generation, the current generation, and the generation to come. If you don't pass down what you know, how are we ever going to know? How are we going to ever be encouraged by the things that God has done if you keep your mouth shut and you don't tell us how amazing it has been and what God has done in your life, or give us wisdom? Trust me, I'm 39 years old. I can learn from you, but I can't learn from you if you don't teach me in the right heart. be ministry. I don't know why I said that. That's totally off. But somebody, I'm just feeling that. You're never too old. If you got breath in your lungs, you praise him with all that you are, and you go forth and you do the things that he's called you to do. All the things that he's called you to do. Don't give up, man. Either Jesus is coming back or that body that you now claim will be done. Either way, you got to invest. Got to invest. Responsible to use well what God has given us. The issue is not in how much we have. The issue is how well you use what you have. The last man in this parable that had the one talent, the one bag of silver, the one that was entrusted with, let me see my breakdown, $1,248,000 current dollars in the United States of America, in Iowa, that one guy, that one lady, the servant, was thinking only of himself. He hoped to play it safe and protect him from his hard master. Sometimes we get tripped up because we're always stuck in God's grace when we forget that God is also holy. He's also a judge. Sometimes we get stuck in the grace of Jesus that we forget that he's holy, and holy things separate. The good and the bad. The obedient, the disobedient. The sheep and the goats. Come on now. Now I'm preaching. Woo. I get this face when I preach. It's like a stank face. Right? All right. I'm coming back. Now for real though, God is still holy. You still will be on judgment day. Stand before him and give an account of what you've done. Here on earth, you've been entrusted so many things, so many great things. Just like this one servant with the one talent, and they try to play it safe and protect themselves from the hard master, but he ended up being judged for his self-centeredness and his lack of investment. We must not make an excuse to avoid what God calls us to do. If God truly is our master, we must be willing, we must willingly obey his wishes. Yes, sir, I will. I don't know how, but I will. Teach me, guide me, move me, set me on fire, whatever you got to do. God, I need to do what you call me to do. Yes, sir. Yes, master. I was told that Pastor Gail many years ago used to pray, master, right? I can't. That's true. What a good, conscious way to acknowledge who you are praying to. Master. That's what, right? Abba, Father. Sometimes we get into Abba, Father so often and we want all this lovey-lovey, and there's a time for that, but sometimes we got to step over and say, Abba, Father's also my master. He's also my master. He's the head of the servants. He's telling me what to do. He's entrusted me. He has left and entrusted me all these bags of amazingness. What will I do with them? Our time, our abilities, and our money aren't just, they're not ours in the first place, church. We don't own anything, but we steward or invest everything. Here's a good way to say that. We are not owners, we are caretakers. We are not owners, we are caretakers. There's very few things you take with yourself, with you, when you die, when you pass from this life. It's not your possessions, not your money. It's what you did with the name of Jesus. It's the souls that you help lead to Christ. It's the ones that you invested in. The Bible says, what you did to the least of these, you did also unto me. It's what you do with what you have now that you will be able to take with you. There's crowns, there's rewards, there's jewels. Don't do it for that, but do it because we have been given the greatest example in Jesus. He gave it all the time, all the time. And the only time he took time for himself was to recharge by praying to his Father, to the Master, to the Heavenly Father, to recharge for what? To do ministry, to love people. That's what. Not to serve himself, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. That's what Jesus did. He is our example of servanthood. But sometimes the only time we give God anything is a Sunday morning or whenever you're watching this. It's the only time that you have time with God, but God's calling us to step it up and invest. If we want more of what God has, then we have to be good with what God has already given. Come on now. If you want more of what God has to give, you better be good with what he's given you. Come on now. Woo! Preaching myself happy. That's good. Amen. Think about this. From the creation of man, the very first time that I came down and I put you together, breathed into you, made you alive, right? Adam, give me one of those. Shh, go to sleep, right? Must have been Pentecostal. In the name of Jesus, just go to sleep. That's just for fun, right? Ooh, hallelujah, right? No catchers there, right? There's no witnesses. All right, we're good. So he comes down and he grabs a rib and he makes Eve. He makes it. So from the very foundation, the very creation of all that we know about, all that we've ever experienced, God told us to tend to the garden, to take care of the animals, to take care of one another, to be fruitful and multiply. And then he goes on in his ancestry and he says, and bless all the nations of the earth. Because of you and your seed, you will bless all the nations of the world. Whew. What an honor, Lord. Who are we? You are grafted into that. Unless you're Jewish and come from Jewish descent, we are grafted into that. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, God made it all. He made it all. We own nothing, but we're called to invest everything. Just a small amount of time. Think about eternity. Yeah, you can't, because we don't comprehend it. We live in the aspect of time. We don't understand what it means to not have time. Eternity is forever. We don't 100% know that, and that's why the Bible says it's like a blink of an eye. Blink of an eye. Blink. It's like your life here. It's but a vapor. It's quick. It's fast. If you think of it all, it's fast. But right now, that's where we're at. So what are we going to do? So the servant with the five talents or the five bags of silver was the greatest. Everyone say greatest. He was the greatest investor and the most trusted by the master. Did you know that inactivity and passivity is a sin? Inactivity and passivity, it's a sin. Another way the Bible says that, if you know what you ought to do or what you not ought to do, and you do it or you don't do it, that's called sin. Man, I know I should give over there. I know I should do that, but I don't. You just became rebellious. That's sin. I know I should go and do this and go there. Daniel Gawke and his wife left this Thursday, packed everything up, sold everything, and they went off into Florida to go. They might be watching. I don't know. They went off to go, and in their later years of life, right, not a normal college student age, and they went off to go study God's word in Florida and see what it is that they're supposed to do. I said, well, what is God calling to? I don't know, but he's calling us. I just got to go. Sold it all, freaking out, because it's not easy. Packed it all up, sold it all, and left. He's gone. He left Thursday. They left Thursday. Sometimes it just takes something radical like that, right? God, what is it that you are asking of me to go and do, right? So think about this, when the lazy, wicked, play it safe. Have you ever thought about play it safe is actually wickedness? when it comes to the kingdom of God. Playing it safe is actually evil against God. How do you walk by faith and be safe? I want to hear a sermon on that. I'm going to walk by faith and be safe, right? Not true. Can't do it. But this wicked, play it safe servant, this lazy guy with the one, didn't get any return on the resources that were given to him to steward all that he was entrusted with. Think about this. This guy who has just one, right? I got one thing to take care of. I know it's big. I know it's a lot. But I'm scared and full of fear because that guy, the master, man, he's tough. He's hard. So I'm going to take this and bury it so when he comes back, I didn't lose any of it. I didn't want to take a risk. I don't want to step out in faith. And I'm going to pull it out and say, here you go. Is this good? I know I didn't do what you asked me to. Is this okay? And what happens to him? Right? And then you got the guy with the five. Got a lot to juggle. There's a lot going on in his life. The guy's got $6 million in his hands, and the master's coming back. I don't know when. And I know he's tough. I know he's coming back strong. Come on now. I know he's coming back. But I got a lot to juggle here, but I'm going to do my best. And I invested it. And look at that. I doubled it. So the wicked one that held off and didn't act out in faith and didn't invest, what does the master do with it? You, with the one who did nothing, give that to me. Give it to me. All right. You, with the five who now have 10, here you go. Here you go. I know you got a lot, but here's another. Okay? Now, why? Why? Because the servant, that servant can be trusted. That servant was faithful. Because the servant, that servant worked hard and invested correctly. Okay? Side thing. I was just thinking about this. Now it says to that one guy who had the one, he says, why didn't you put it in the bank? At least you could have got a little interest. Now, we definitely don't want to compare to America right now an interest in a bank because there's like 0.00001223%. It's like, what? You know, 10,000 in there? Yeah, I earned $5. Wow, I can get a meal. Thank you. Praise God. Right? So it says, why didn't you invest it into the bank? At least I could have got some sort of interest. Now, I thought about this. This might set somebody free. Might be a mindset change here. Now, think about this. Now, you might be feeling like you only have a little bit of talent, a little bit to give. God's only entrusted you with a little bit right now. Now, you see over here this guy that has five and this other person that has two, and they got a lot going on, and things are happening for them. That's awesome. But what do most people do when they have little and they see other people doing great? They hide. They might even scoff or get mad about it. Here's what I think it means, at least in the interpretation I felt like the Holy Spirit gave me at that moment when I was studying this week, is putting in the bank means this. Keep going. You got this. I don't have skin in the game with what you're doing right now. I don't have those talents, but the talents I do have, I'm going to slightly invest those. I'm going to put them in the bank. I'm going to be your cheerleader. I don't have those talents, but the talent I do have goes with you, and we're still investors, so keep going. I'm here. I'm supporting you. You got this. Go, 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 go. You can sometimes place things in a bank and get little interest by being positive, not being passive, but positive in what God is doing through other people and ministries and bless those and let them go. Be a cheerleader. Amen? See, God rewards faithfulness, church. God rewards faithfulness. God rewards good stewards. God rewards those who invest correctly and work hard. If you work hard and invest correctly and use the talents wisely that God has given you, the results will be greater opportunities. God will give you more because you can be trusted with more. You know the saying, God won't give you more than you can handle? Now, it's kind of a cool t-shirt, but it actually is true. God's giving you what you have now. Why? Because he can trust you with it. And if you want more, work hard, invest correctly. Church, there's three things. Say three. Oh, man, that's like five of you. We're going to be done in just a moment. I'm getting there. There is still food. We live in America. We have an abundance. Most of us can actually skip a few meals, and it might be good for us. Hallelujah. It's called fasting. Hallelujah. Okay, let's just move on. Now y'all, you're back in it. Hallelujah. Tell a joke. Come back. You know, look down at your love handles and remind yourself. Hallelujah. All right, I'm good. I got these store packs. We're good. Okay. Church, say three.
Three.
There you go. Three things you can do with your life. Number one, you can do this. You can waste it. Number two, you can spend it. Number three, or you can invest it. You can waste your life, you can spend your life away, or you can invest it. Three choices. These choices, every choice that you make, you have a decision. Everything that you do, even the thoughts in your head. See, even people right now, you are thinking negatively that you are not going to be able to invest. Break that. It is on you. You're the one causing yourself not to do the things that God's called you to do. It's not this or that person did this or whatever, and this person hurt me. It's on you. Even right now, your own mind needs to be renewed with Christ. You need to put on the helmet of salvation. You need something to wash your mind with God's word and set you free. You got to do it. Break that right now. Man, if that's you, I want you to say in your head something positive. We're going to wait for you. I don't have anything to positive to say. Well, that now you have to look at your neighbor and say, tell me something positive about me. Do it. Look at your neighbor. If you need encouragement right now, look at your neighbor and say, can you say something positive about me? Say it. Even the birthday girl is saying something. Okay. Linda, appreciate you. You're awesome. You did so good with our dog. You're an awesome dog trainer. Amazing. Rev is the most obedient dog ever, and he's massive. If he wasn't obedient, it'd be a hot mess everywhere. If he wasn't obedient, we'd give him to you. That's what we do. Hallelujah. What a great investment. Now you don't have to buy more dog food because he eats a lot. Okay. Every choice you make, everything that you do, even the thoughts that you have three choices. I can waste this, I can spend this, or I can invest this. You're making a choice right now, either joining us online or over or in the house. You're choosing to invest in your life and all the lives around you by hearing God's word and getting around God's people. Right now, this is an investment. You have a choice, right? People online, like if you knew you should have been at church today, you had a choice today. Guess what? You're given another chance, hopefully, next week. We'd love to see you for Mother's Day. But all of us have a decision. Or if you're online and you're investing, you're writing notes like crazy, you know it's better at home than it is here. Just choose. Are you gonna waste it, spend it, or invest it? I have a page and a half left. That's it. That's good. There's 11 pages, so you're doing good. The amounts might differ, right? Here's where we get tripped up. Why? Because we're humans. Man, I'll never preach like Pastor Harris. No, you won't, because you weren't called to.
That's right.
You're called to preach like you're called to preach like, right? Okay? I'll never be as handsome when I get that age like Pastor Stephen. No, I won't, because Pastor Stephen's is just that handsome. Hallelujah. Like, whatever it is, we got to quit looking at everybody's like, yeah. Sharon's not clapping. What's that about? Keeping her mouth, she's doing one of these. All right, cool. All right. Tomorrow morning, Sherry, marriage counseling in my office. We'll get some availability open. We'll talk through that through. Hallelujah. No, but we keep looking to other people wanting to be them when we forget that we're only us because we're called to be us. And we only have the gifts that we have because those are the gifts that we've been entrusted with. So don't get tripped up with other people have. Don't get tripped up with where other people have been. Here's another thing. Also, don't think that they just earned it. You don't know what they, how hard they grinded to get there. You don't know how many things that they've walked through to get to that point. A lot of times, oh man, they're rich and they're going through all that. Yeah, because they had to earn it and they've been trusted with it. Maybe you just need to be faithful with what you have right now and focus on that. Hallelujah. That's good, right? See, the amounts might be different. The amounts of talents might be different, and we know that because one got five, one got two, and one got one. That's the way it works. Why? Because God's in charge. I don't know else. It's just the way it is. Could complain about it and be faithful. Hallelujah. But everyone is given something. You are given something. You have something to give. There is no such thing as a no talent person, no matter what junior high told you.
And you got no talent,
right? Y'all know. I've been a youth pastor 3 times. I know what's up. I know. You're good. Everybody is goofy in junior high. That's just how it is. You'll grow into the feet and the head and everything. You'll grow into it. It's good. Everybody's been there. Love Jesus. Tune everybody else out sometimes. There's no such thing as a no-talent person. Everyone has at least one you can be entrusted with. The word says in Romans 12:6, at the first part of that verse, it says this. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Thank you, Lord. Desire all the spiritual gifts, but sometimes people have different gifts. And sometimes you'll have a gift for a time, and then you'll have a different gift for a different time. Sometimes it'll give you multiple gifts for that time, and sometimes you won't have those gifts at all. It's just, you're just going with the flow of the Holy Spirit and what God says that you have to do. Now look at me, church. I want to speak to you right now. To you right now. Look at me. You are unique. You are unique. You're unique. You're unique. God has given you gifts, talents, and skills, resources, abilities. He's given you experiences, personality traits, and temperaments, all to make you, you. He made you for a purpose. And here's one of the purposes. The purposes of your life is this. Here's one: to invest all that you have, to invest all that you are, and all that you hope to live longer than your life here on earth. Special. If you want to get biblical with it, God calls you what? Multiple things, but he calls you a masterpiece. You're a masterpiece. You're put together exactly how God wants you right now in this time with all the things that you are for a purpose, on purpose. The master in this parable that we just read, he made an investment in his servants and expected a return on his investments. Our master, God the Father, he made an investment in your life as well. He sent Jesus, and he sent the Holy Spirit. And God expects a return as well. Did you hear me? That is so important. The master expects a return as well. If you don't believe it, read your word this week. You'll see it all over. The Bible says one day God is going to do, he's gonna have an account or an audit of your life. Won't that be fun? You do one of these. Oh, snap, right? Oh. And then sometimes you'd be like, yes, nailed it. Woo! And then you're like, oh, failed it, right? Welcome to being a human. The Bible says that one day God's going to give He's going to go through an account, and he's going to do an audit, and he's going to ask you, what did you do with all that I gave you? Jesus is going to ask you, what did you do with my name? What did you do with my name? Now, you didn't choose to be born where you were born. Go Ducks. Eugene, Oregon, right? I know. It's like, there you go. Okay, that was for you. So, you didn't choose. We live in America. Right? Maybe you weren't born in America. Not everybody in this room was born in America. Not everybody was watching was born in America. But most of you right now, you're born in America. You didn't choose to be born in America. We complain more about America now than we even look at other countries and be blessed by where we are even now. It's a hot mess right now. Yeah, it is. But it's still the greatest country ever. You didn't choose to be born where you're born, and you didn't choose the freedoms that you now have. You didn't choose the overabundance of the resources that you currently possess. Church, you've been entrusted with many talents in your life, if you know it or not. Hallelujah. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So do something significant in your life for God. Here's a good start. The Bible teaches about tithe, right? Tithe. Tithe literally means 10%. 10%. When the word in the Old Testament talks about tithe, they're talking about your first fruits. What are our first fruits? Not all of us in here are farmers. What that means is your money. The Bible says you give to God 10% of all your money. You can make whatever excuse you want, whatever you want to say, that's a fact. You can't get out of that. Whatever you want to say, say it. But 10% of your money should go to God. Whatever excuse you want to give, doesn't matter. Does not matter. Now you're like, well, that's not a New Testament principle. You're right. So give sacrificially. It's more than 10%. You just messed yourself up. You did one of these. You put your shoe in your mouth, right? 10%. Follow me real quick. 10% tithe is your finances. Now, if we talk about being generous, in its own definition, talks about time and money. Push money aside. Let's talk about time. There's 168 hours in a week. 1 week has 168 hours. 10% of that is 16.8. Let's round up just a teeny bit. Call it 17. 17 hours is 10% of your week. Here's a great place to start. Give 17 hours of your week to God. Right? Many of us give an hour and a half and we're like ready to get out of here. 2 hours, maybe. And we're like, oh, I'm exhausted. What percent? I didn't even write that percent. But let me tell you, it's way less than 10% because 10% of your week is 17 hours. If we want somewhere to start, let's start here. Give God your time and your money. Just start there. Let me tell you better be ready for it. Because when you're ready for it and you are faithful in those things right there, those small things, 17 hours, 10% of your money. You give those two things, you're going to be called faithful in little, and God is going to give you much. He will give you more responsibilities. He'll give you more. Why? Because you can be trusted. Right now, maybe you can't be. God's calling you forth right now, through me, right? This vessel telling you that God wants you to be faithful in those two things from this day forward. Because if you are, he's going to give you more responsibilities, going to give you much. And let me tell you, it says that the floodgates will open. Blessings will come that you won't even understand. But it doesn't matter that you don't understand. But hopefully it matters that you will be a good steward. You don't always have to understand it, but you should always be a good steward. The greater the privilege, the greater the responsibility. Spider-Man's uncle got that from the word, if you know what I'm saying. All you nerds out there, come on now, right? I know I changed the words a little bit, but you know what I'm saying. But it's true, the greater the privilege, the more that you have, the greater the responsibility. The more money you have, the more responsibility, right? More money, more problems. That's a 90s song. Okay, and the... There's a whole bunch of, somebody laughed because, yeah, we sanctified. It's like, Pastor, you said it. I know. Okay. The more money, the more resources, the more responsibility. The more things that you have, the more responsibility. The more time that you have, the more responsibility. The more that you have, the more responsibility you're required to be a good steward. So honor Jesus, church. Honor Jesus. Choose to invest in your talents and live for things that will outlive you. Worship team, can you come? Hallelujah. God, thank you for your word. Will you just thank him for his word? Hallelujah. Choose to invest your talents and live for things that will outlive you. Will you stand, church? Hallelujah. Oftentimes, a change in life starts with repentance in life. What's repentance? It is a much stronger form of being sorry. It's being sorry with action, right? Father, thank you for all that you give us, God. Thank you for all that you give us. But Lord, we repent right now for the things that we're not faithful in. The things that we haven't been faithful in, the things that you've entrusted us to, including our time. Lord, most of the time we complain about things being too long or not getting in our word or worshiping you or praying. And we're not even giving you 10% of our week, let alone all of our heart. I just pray right now, Father, that you just come. Holy Spirit, conviction, come right now. We open up our hearts to you to receive. Not that we are going to feel guilty for what we've done, but we'll be empowered to change it. Not because we first loved, but because you first loved us. I pray for the love of the Father to fall upon us right now through his Son, Jesus. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, may we be changed right now from the inside out. Maybe right now put your hand on your heart. Or somewhere that you're like, I need to change. Maybe it's your head. Maybe getting tripped up by your head, not your heart. Your heart says one thing, your head says another, and you follow your head more than your heart. When I say heart, I don't mean like the world says heart, where you follow your feelings. I mean your heart, like following your soul that's listening to the Holy Spirit. The spirit inside of you, the spirit and soul that's wanting what God wants. God, change our hearts right now and our minds to honor you. To be more generous in our lives. May we make a commitment to give more to you, to make you more of a priority. Give us strategies and wisdom in what that looks like and where to go and how to talk and what to do. Lord, I pray for each and every person in here who has their hand on their heart or their head that you're going to right now in this next 24 hours, give them an opportunity to be generous in a way they've never been generous before. They're going to see someone. And I also pray for the boldness. When they are generous to that person or that organization or the whatever it is, that they don't say, God bless you, but they say, Jesus wanted me to tell you that he loves you and I'm giving this to you. That God himself spoke to me to do this for you because he loves you this much. Give us an opportunity to do something like that. Lord, I pray for our prayer closets. Some of them are dusty. Dust it off right now. Dust it off right now. Time spent with God. We've been in a dry spell, not because it's been dry, but because we stopped looking for water. Come on now. It's a dry spell because we stopped tapping into the wells of God. We stopped looking for the river that runs underneath where we're at and not tapping into that. Holy Spirit, right now, come. Will you reach your hands to the sky real quick as an international sign of surrender? It's also a position of receiving. Holy Spirit, right now, from the tippy tops of our fingers to the soles of our feet, we ask that you touch us in a new way. You've been generous over and over again. You teach us what generosity is. And I pray that right now you teach us now how to be generous. Lord, we give you this day, we give you this time, we give you the rest of our lives until your son Jesus comes back or until we pass from this mortal shell. I ask that right now that you use us in a supernatural way. Here we are, God, use us. We love you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen.